the Land Use Board of Appeals and have Mr. Todd Basham come on forward. Thank you, Senator Nelson. Sorry, I was down talking to some kids. So, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. And would you just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to continue in this particular appointment? We appreciate your willingness to serve.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Todd Basham. I'm presently a board member of the Land Use Board of Appeals. It's been my privilege to serve in that capacity for the last two terms. I find the work collegial, satisfying, challenging. It's my desire and it would be my privilege to continue serving with the board for another term. LUBA faces, and the state faces many challenges in the coming years in the land use arena. I would like to help the board face those challenges. And that's the extent of my remarks.
Could you talk a little bit how your job has changed at all with the result of the Measure 37?
The board has, as you probably know, the board doesn't directly review Bellwether 37 claims. We have received in the last 2 months of 2006 four cases that are related to Bellwether 37. These are what we call post-Measure 37 waiver cases, where there's already been a waiver, but there's still some kind of land use approval that's required. Those decisions, arguably, are land use decisions that can be appealed to LUBA. It's difficult to anticipate how many of those types of appeals we get. We think we may get a dozen, 10 or 20 or so, which added to our current caseload may strain LUBA's resources.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Basham? Thank you very much. Appreciate you joining us and appreciate your willingness to continue in this position. So,
thank you.
Thank you. With that, we're going to close the public hearing on the Land Use Board of Appeals and open a public hearing on the Superintendent of State Police. Call you Officer McLean? Is that what I call you? If you don't care, as long as Trooper McLean. Trooper McLean.
Trooper McLean.
Superintendent. Well, he's not quite the superintendent. So, hi. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Great, Madam Chair.
Good. Would you just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want this particular position?
Thank you. For the record, I'm Timothy McLean, the Oregon State Police. In your material, I also provided a one page that recaps my 27, almost 28 years with the Oregon State Police. As you can see from that, I've had the opportunity to work and live in pretty much all regions of the state. What's not reflected in there is my success and how I got where I am in this chair today. And that first I'd like to talk about is people, and people inside or outside the organization. No matter when I was working narcotics cases or in my present position now, I reach out to people. And I find it just as easy to find a staff person at headquarters for an answer or to make a phone call to a trooper in Ontario, somebody over at the fire marshal's office, ID section, chief or sheriff. That's how I've got my job done to this point. The other piece that I lead by example. One of the reasons I wear the uniform is I feel it's not only the patrol trooper's responsibility, but when I'm in travel mode, it's my responsibility to take care of our citizens out there, either stopping to assist them or to assist in a crash. One of the things I've given people who work for me, flexibility to get the job done. But at the same time, when there's difficult decisions or choices to be made, I can make them. I look out for the welfare, not the welfare of the department, but the welfare of our people, the people that serve this state and these citizens. And most important, the reason I'm successful is my family. They've, as you can see from the paperwork, they've made four moves with me all around the state and given me support the whole way. Why do I want this job? It's a big question. And the answer is this. I think the same reason back in 1990 when I applied for sergeant. I was working detectives, enjoyed the work, but at some point I decided I needed to step up into a leadership role and take care of again, the people in this organization. Take care of the agency and make the changes that I could. And so as you can see, as those opportunities came along, I took the next challenge, the next one, and the next one. Each time, I think, making changes and helping people in the agency. If I'm a confirmed superintendent, several things. One, I'm going to maintain the standards of this department. I'm going to make sure that 75 years history here, that we maintain the professional service to the citizens of the state. I'm going to work with your chiefs, sheriffs, and district attorneys to increase the level of cooperation and coordination of services. I'll work with the public safety community to pursue excellence in our emergency preparedness and response. And I pledge to you that I'll be open, approachable, honest, helpful, and above all, accountable to you. I thank you for your time, and Madam Chair, I'll be open to any questions.
Thank you. Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair, in just looking at the packet of material that was submitted for the committee, I think it is extraordinarily telling that you have local government being city police officers, you have county folks, there are several sheriffs that have weighed in, you have labor that has weighed in. I've had the opportunity to talk to some of the troopers that would fall under your command, and I have heard nothing but good things about them. Plus, you have personal references that speak to a childhood spent in a family that instilled character and a sense of duty. I have rarely seen a more comprehensive packet of support, and I think that tells a story in and of itself. I'm going to be very pleased and proud to support this nomination.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Just for the record, we've been handed a email dated, thank you, February 7th, 2007. We'll submit that for the record, as well as a letter dated January 24th, 2006 from Jerry Atlansky for the record. So, and he's here to testify, and we'll bring him up in just a minute. Questions? Sarah Nelson.
Yes, good. Thank you, Chair. Acting Superintendent, you and I have talked a lot about all these issues, and you know that I've had some issues in my district, and I know that right now the Oregon State Police does have a retaliatory discrimination suit filed against them in Baker City. I believe that there's another one that's showing up and potentially could show up in my district, and it wasn't on your watch, I understand that, but I have some real concern with how the agency administration was conducting themselves with respect to how they treated some of their patrol people. And so you and I have talked about this in many occasions, and you've assured me that you're going to be looking at this situation. I got a card from one of my constituents, and I know you took care of this problem, but basically my constituent's words were, does the word cover-up come to mind when it comes to Oregon State Police? Because he received a letter from somebody in the department saying that what the investigation proved, the conduct did not occur, and my constituent said he was there, he knows that it did occur, and so there are some real issues from my viewpoint of how the agency at the administration level is reacting or interacting both with the public and with their own patrol people. Could you comment on that?
Madam Chair, Senator Nelson, I appreciate your concerns. My comment would be this. If you look back on my career, and that was one of the reasons that, again, that I moved into management ranks, is so that everybody was treated with respect in this agency. We're all accountable, myself included. I've had supervisors. I've held them accountable. If people need to be removed from a particular position, I will remove them.
And just follow up. This all came about 4 or 5 or I can't remember how many years ago. I was called to a meeting in Pendleton, Oregon, where there was every state patrolman from Eastern Oregon in the room. It was kind of unique meeting because
okay.
I called up and said I was going to be late, and the fellow said, "Well, you can put the pedal to the metal because there are no highway patrolmen. they're all sitting in this room." And so we went there, and so there were some concerns at that time, and I at that time the acting or the superintendent at that time said he was going to take care of them, but as the events have transpired in the last couple of years up there, I can see they haven't. So, I just want you to know that and to put on record the fact that I do have some concerns with how the agency has been run in the past. And I agree with this, Senator Johnson, that your record and the affirmations you've been getting from just a whole variety of people are very, very supportive of you. And I'm going to support you in this nomination. But I just want to put on the record that I do have concerns and that I hope that they're taken care of. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Nelson. Sarah Monis Anderson, any questions?
No, just the fact that we do have an email that is, you know, a little disturbing, and I, having just got it now, I'm not at this point, I don't feel I'm...
Okay. Mr. Lansky is here to testify, so...
Okay, all right.
I was going to say superintendent, but I better not do that yet. Trooper McClain, could you talk to me? The Oregon legislature has on its agenda adding a few additional troopers. I think the number's 139, trying to get us troopers on the road 24/7. And I'm just curious what your vision would be for diversifying the workforce to reflect Oregon's growing multicultural population.
Madam Chair, one of the things we started in anticipation of that is we got a recruiting unit back up and started. And if you go back and look at our record previous to the 2003 layoffs, we were doing a pretty good job at the time in recruiting. So we'll go back to that. We've pulled people out of division to start that recruiting effort, and I think we'll be back there as we were pre-2003.
Thank you. Anything else? Thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us today, and we'll keep you in touch.
Thank you.
The proceedings of the Senate. I would ask Mr. Jerry Atlansky. Hello. How are you this morning?
Morning. Excellent. Thank you very much for inviting me. And this is my first time testifying.
We'll try to be nice.
That's what I'm
saying. Okay.
For. And thank you for your courtesies. Thank you for inviting me, Chair. Vice Chair is not here, and all members.
Mr. Atlansky, I need you to do one thing, or at least two things. No, pull the microphone closer so we can hear you and pick up your testimony for the record.
My name is Jerry Atlansky, Chairperson of Oregon State Police Independent Citizens Review Board from Estacada, Oregon. Almost a 5-year member of the Oregonian community. Here today for a very, very sad situation because we of the Oversight Board are extremely against the confirmation of Trooper McLean. The first reason would be that we made 3 phone calls in December, late December, sent a certified letter, got a signed receipt, that his office received it, asking him just one simple question. Will he work with our oversight board in enhancing the safety of all Oregonians? The answer was mute. Not one word. That was the same answer we received since 2005, the fall of, from Superintendent Rucker. Our question at that point in time was to the top trainer of OSP, what would happen if a officer, a trooper, saw another trooper repeatedly beating, kicking a restrained person? We call it a pretty logical question to ask. And The answer was immediately that the trainer said, his first name's Fred, Lieutenant Fred, that that officer that witnesses it must assist in the arrest and report it. I said, what good would that do? That person may be maimed for life or die on the spot. We can't accept that. He would not agree with anything we were proposed until we said we must start form an oversight board. It took 7 months, thanks to the Senate, the Oregon Senate, legislators on both sides of the House, four people came forth and supported us by pressuring Trooper Rucker's, forced his hand to send us his code of conduct of what the procedures were. Because up to that point, only near the end of it, he finally agreed he has to provide that to us because his superior said so. Not one word was changed in the 7 years Superintendent Rucker was in office. But they implied through those 7 months that they would stop a person, an officer in that scenario. So we also would like to know why Trooper McLean feels that he has the power not to speak to an individual, a group of people that are non-paid, grassroots, only for the motive of preventing this from happening again, as the last 8 months in Oregon, there were three cases filed, civil suits in the federal district court that will exceed, for the first time in Oregon, very possibly, over $100 million. Where is that money coming from? It's going to drain all or many police agencies so they cannot prevent crime, take care of their business. So where for all the law enforcement agencies in the state, we want the words to be very defined, not just what I brought forth, but that if a supervisor, police supervisor or a line officer, sees this practice of excessive force, it is their duty to intervene and stop that. Those words can fit in every type of situation. So we would like to hear Trooper's response, Trooper McLean, on what he would do if he witnessed that first scenario that I brought forth.
Thank you, Mr. Atlansky. You should know that the Oregon legislature is wrestling with legislation as we speak. I believe the bill number from last session was Senate Bill 301. I don't know the bill number this session. 111. So you know that we're wrestling with that issue, and hopefully we'll be moving forward, and I really encourage you to get involved in the legislative process around that particular bill. Questions for Mr. Atlansky? Senator Johnson.
Is your organization a 501c3, or how are you organized? What's your appointing authority?
I mentioned we're strictly grassroots. We are the only truly independent oversight police bureau in the country.
Self-formed, though.
No forms at all.
No, self-formed, self-appointed.
Oh, I follow you. Yes, that's correct.
I was just trying to understand the context in which you had come together. This has the appearance of trying to case manage some specific situation that occurred sometime in the past.
There's more to it. We also want specific training, minimum to maximum, step by step, first verbal, then by equipment, police equipment. And we want to exclude tasering because it has, for the Amnesty International, it has killed several dozens of people. We want to replace it with the netting came out 2 weeks ago. It's the best replacement for the taser.
Okay. Two comments, Madam Chair. One of them is that I think holding Trooper McClain accountable for the behaviors of the former superintendent is something that I don't think is appropriate necessarily in this hearing scenario. The second thing is I think many of your issues can be addressed through policy consideration in this building, independent of who the superintendent of state patrol is. And I just would like those comments reflected in the record, Madam Chair.
The problem with that, if I may interject, there's not one person will let me meet with them for 7 months, almost every week, every month. Letters have been going one direction, and just one letter back from Superintendent Rucker. I sent 17 cities throughout Oregon to all the command posts of OSP to let them know what was going on. So I know that Trooper McClain was aware of it at least from January of last year.
Mr. Lansky, I think what Senator Johnson is trying to tell you is that the number of issues that you have raised are of concern to the Oregon legislature, and that your time might be more productive or more effective for you to spend time working legislation or policy issues in the building. And the best example of that is Senate Bill 111. But I also know we're going to be wrestling with the BPSST budget, the folks that do the training for police officers. Some of the issues that you mentioned have been an issue for the Portland police, for example, and the folks that do the training, we fund that program. So that would be a really good opportunity for you to get involved with those discussions, because it would impact not just the Oregon State Police, but all of the law enforcement community in Oregon. So we really appreciate you coming today. We're going to bring Trooper McClain back up for some brief comments, but really encourage you to get involved in the legislative process, because you can have an impact there. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and I will be at the 1 o'clock meeting. That's the reason why I came today.
Great.
5 hours earlier, or I'd never have been here. I was called by Carol from your office.
Okay.
That is today, not the 28th of this month, for this meeting.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate you coming.
I appreciate all the time you spent with me.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Do you wish to make any comments in response?
I think the comment I'll leave with is that, and back to Senator Nelson, is that if we have complaints on any member of the agency, myself included, we'll fully investigate them. And if they're serious enough, there'll be a Department of Justice review on those complaints.
Okay. It's on the record.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. With that, we're going to close the public hearing on the Superintendent of State Police, and we're going to open a public hearing on the Student Assistance Commission. We've got Bart Howard and Brian Lewis, if you could come on up. Next up will be Rick Herman and then Tony Barsotti. Did I get that name right? Barsotti? Okay. I see this is your first face-to-face meeting.
First time here as well. So I'm a little nervous.
You'll be fine. Just state your name for the record and just tell us a little bit about yourselves and why you'd like to serve on this extremely important commission. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, committee, I'm pleased to be here. My name is Bart Howard. I live in Portland, 196 Southeast Spokane Street in Portland, Oregon.
Oh. Well, that's a good district to be in.
It's a very good district. I'm a mostly retired citizen of Oregon. I retired a year and a half ago. My career before that was in higher education. And I'm interested in serving the state of Oregon with the Oregon Student Assistance Commission because I have some skills I think that I could bring to bear. I think it's critical that the commission is very critical to the state of Oregon to its future, to its communities. The idea of adequate finances to attend college and university is something that's very near and dear to Oregon, and it's very important to producing college-educated citizens. I think maybe you've seen some of the statistics where 20% of the college-educated citizenry of the state of Oregon comes from out of state, so we're not doing the best job of producing our own educated folk. And I think we have an opportunity now to make some significant inroads in this. And I do like the idea of the shared responsibility model. I think there's some things that I could do to help with that. I have a background of working with the Ford Family Foundation. I didn't expect some shared responsibility there. In my role as Vice President for Habitat for Humanity of Oregon, there's a lot of work done where people come together and share that responsibility. People gain ownership of those houses through working with other people that are concerned about them. And I think that's a good indicator of what can be done in the educational community, too. So it makes a difference, the pride that people take in what they do. I guess that I don't want to spend too much time, but I do want to say that I think that we need to be very concerned about what's happening with education in the state of Oregon. The financial aid community is very much a part of this. The Oregon Student Assistance Commission interacts with the financial aid community. I say financial aid community in terms of public, private, and institutions, but also high schools, colleges, and universities. I think that I'd like to do the best I can. I've been fortunate to work with some visionary kind of leaders in higher education. When they've started to talk strategically, I've started to think tactically, and I think that this is what the Oregon Student Assistance Commission is going to have to be doing, is thinking tactically. They do some very good things. They interact with public and private organizations. We leverage our money in the state of Oregon in very good ways with private sources of scholarships. I'd like to try to continue to build on that. So as a product of a retired product of the financial aid community, I hope that I could be of help to that community. You know, in ancient communities, citizens would choose death over being exiled from the community. And Socrates was one such person who asked to drink some poison, and he did. I think probably because he talked too much, so I'll quit talking. give you an opportunity to ask me any questions that you might have.
Okay. Thank you. Is it Lemos? Lemos?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay.
It's, Madam Chair, my name is Brian Lemos, and I live on 8956 Yahoo Skin in Palbute, Oregon. Yahoo Skin means fat belly in Indian, for the record. And I represent Crick County High School. I am the vice principal there and the principal of our alternative school. And I feel that I can help this board because I am a product of our financial aid system. My parents did not graduate from high school. The only financial way that I could make or make higher education a priority for us was through the system. And basically what I'm here to say is that I'm here to serve Oregon, and I want to give back to a system that's taken care of us and has helped my family move on.
Thank you. Well, we're all very committed to making sure that Oregon kids can go to Oregon schools, so really, really appreciate your work on this commission. Are there any questions for this panel? I think you got off the hook really easy. We look forward to working with you as we develop the shared responsibility model and hopefully provide more funds for higher education over this session. So thank you both very much.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
And another day we'll have a conversation of what it's like to move from London, England to Roseburg, Oregon. So.
Well, and then from Roseburg to Portland. And
oh, yeah, that's easy.
Good neighborhood.
Yes, yes, in a really good neighborhood. All right. Thank you both very much. With that, we're going to close. Oh, any public testimony on the Student Assistance Commission? Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. Open a public hearing on the appraiser certification. Mr. Herman. Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board, to get the full name right. Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Rick Herman, for the record. I'm seeking an appointment to the Appraiser Licensing and Certification Board. My background is I've been in the real estate appraisal business about 30 years. I've been an educator in the industry. As I'm sure you know, real estate appraisers and appraisals have come under fire recently.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, thousands of Oregonians invest millions of dollars in mortgage debt commitments. In part, they rely upon real estate appraisals. My goal is to make sure that the laws are equitably and firmly enforced so that consumers can continue to rely upon appraisals in their decision-making.
Thank you. I just wanted to say before we lose any folks, we started a new process 1 or 2 years ago about bringing governor's appointees to the boards and commissions forward so we could interview them. And it's just really been an incredible experience to meet folks with such breadth and willingness to serve the state of Oregon. So we really appreciate your willingness to do this very important volunteer work. Any questions? I think you're off the hook this morning, so thank you very much and appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That we're going to close the public hearing on the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board and open the board. Did we go to Board of Boiler Rules? Board of Boiler Rules. Mr. Barsotti? Is it Barsotti or Barsotti? Barsotti, okay. Thanks and welcome.
Thanks. Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Tony or Anthony Barsotti, and just for the record, our family says Barsotti as Biscotti, our Tuscan roots.
I'll remember that.
So I'm here as a nominee for the Board of Boiler Rules, which many people may not be too familiar with, but I work for mechanical contractor Portland Temp Control Mechanical, which manufactures, installs pressure vessels. My interest in serving on the board is tied to sort of general commitment to public safety. I have a parallel career path as a in the construction trades, beginning as a pipe fitter and as a safety professional. And so I was class 5 with the certification for installing pressure vessels for a number of years, gave that up in the early 90s, went to work full-time for a large general contractor, Hoffman Construction, primarily building semiconductor fabs for Intel projects. And about 3 years ago, went back to mechanical contractor as corporate safety professional. So I think what I offer to the Board of Boiler Rules is sort of a unique perspective from both a labor perspective, safety professional, fabricator, installer, pressure vessels, but with a strong commitment to occupational safety and health and public safety and health and ensuring that we efficient use of our resources to ensure that nobody is injured and sort of target it to the areas where we have the highest risks.
Thank you. Questions?
Legislative lobbyist. He's printed, what, 4 papers? It's pretty remarkable.
And I have to say for the record, I've always pronounced it Biscotti, so now I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce it correctly. So, Sarah Johnson, any questions?
No, ma'am.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Right.
And again, we really appreciate your willingness to take time out of your busy schedule to serve the state of Oregon.
I'm quite appreciative of your efforts as well.
Thank you. We're having a great time this session, aren't we, Senator Nelson?
Be for yourself.
All right. With that, we'll close the public hearing on the Board of Boiler Rules and open the public hearing on the Cultural Trust. Mr. Nick Fish, come on up.
Good
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to appear before you. I am a resident of Northeast Portland, proud father of a Portland Public School student and a youngster in diapers. I am married to Patricia Schechter, who teaches history at Portland State University, and is the first woman on her mother's side of the family to go to high school. I am an attorney with the firm of Meyer and Wise, and I host a public affairs show called Outlook Portland with Nick Fish. And I'm in therapy as a recovering candidate.
I just want to know if your insurance coverage takes care of that. No.
The Madam Chair, I have a passion for arts and culture and for the role that Oregon plays as a leading destination, an incubator of wonderful arts, culture, and heritage. And my interest in serving on the Cultural Trust Board is threefold. One, I would like to use my skills to help grow the endowment. Obviously, we gave away about $1.1 million in the last cycle, and that's a good start, but we all have bigger ambitions for the Cultural Trust. Two, I'd like to help expand our work on educating the public about the wonderful benefits of the 100% state tax credit. Regrettably, about 93% of Oregonians who give to arts and cultural organizations today do not contribute to the trust. And obviously, that's our prime market initially because it's found money. You give the money and you get it right back. And it is a unique program which really leads the nation. And the third is I look forward to working with my colleagues on the trust board and the Oregon Arts Commission to be a champion for the arts and culture statewide and to make sure that our scarce resources are spent wisely. I'd be honored to have your support for this position, and I'd welcome any questions or advice you may have for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir Johnson.
As a donor to the Cultural Trust, Madam Chair, it frightens me that Mr. Fish might join this group given his persuasive powers and expertise in fundraising. I have seen him twist money out of a rock. And so I think all of us should be very wary of the fact that he is going to be a juggernaut in the fundraising activities at the Cultural Trust if he's confirmed. So I'm quite apprehensive about this appointment, actually.
Madam Chair, Senator Johnson, you're referring to the time that I ran into you in Portland while you were putting money in a meter and I asked you for a contribution to a particular cause.
I wasn't going to reveal our secret, Mr. Fish, but I just wanted to suggest...
Gracious. thank you.
I just wanted to suggest to the panel that this is no amateur in the fundraising department.
You are shameless, aren't you?
Yes, I've had good tutors, I guess I would say.
Okay. Questions?
Yes.
Sarah Mattis Anderson.
I'm quite excited to see you on the board. I mean, you actually have a very nice, flamboyant type of reputation in the community.
Aren't you glad you came, man?
Thank you.
But I do want to put a plug in for Gresham Center for Performing Arts, too. Gresham, you know, when I grew up, there was a farming community, and when we wanted culture, we came to Portland. And I would hope that you will take into account those districts outside of the Portland area that truly want to bring performing arts into their communities. And I'm excited about how Oregon is, you know, really expanding on its cultural arts and interests in performing arts. But do you have any comments regarding the arts outside of Portland?
Yes, first, Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, I will say that I actually spend a lot of time in Gresham because my daughter's a soccer player. Uh-huh. And Gresham has the best facility, as you know, best AstroTurf facility in the region, and also a state champion U14 girls team that we're constantly trying to knock off.
Oh, your wealth of information.
I think you're absolutely right. And one of the concepts, I think, is you know, we have well-established institutions in places like Portland and in some of our major cities. And one of the things I'd like to explore is how do we bring those programs out into the other counties and jurisdictions of the state. We can do some collaborative work. We could ask the Portland Art Museum, for example, to mount an exhibit in a sister institution in eastern Oregon. We could talk about the Oregon Historical Society focusing on concerns of people outside of Multnomah County and of interest to people throughout the state. So I welcome that concept, and I We'll also make a point of, on one of the rare evenings, my wife and I get out of going to the Gresham Center for the Performing Arts.
Well, it's in process. We only have land right now.
It'll be a little rugged, but I'll bring the chair.
Sarah Martis Anderson, did we put some money into that last session?
Yes, we did.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Did.
All right. Sarah Johnson?
As long as, Madam Chair, as we're using this opportunity to load this empty vessel with our expectations, I was particularly gratified to hear him talk about arts and culture statewide. I think that this legislature has before it an opportunity to refoliate the heretofore denuded cultural landscape. As we romp through cutting budgets, we have the chance now to reinvest in arts and culture through a program called CHAMPS, Culture, History, Arts, Movies, and Preservation. It's a package of bills that are coming through the legislature with the hope of being able to restore some of the very significant cuts that occurred in those areas. It includes Oregon Public Broadcasting, the Arts Commission, the Historical Society, and knowing that Mr. Fish might be in a position, a portfolioed position, to aggressively advocate for reinvestment in the arts brings me great comfort. So I charge him with that expectation to be out there on point for getting some money and energy back behind cultural investment in this state, and I think we have a excellent candidate to perform that mission.
Thank you, Senator Johnson.
Madam
Chair, wish to respond?
Johnson, I just want to say that I think that $10 million program is a worthy down payment on getting the money back into the system, and we thank you for your leadership, and you have my full support on the CHAMP.
You're a great American.
All right. It's getting a little thick in here. Thank you very much, Mr. Fish, and
much.
I'm really glad that the M stands for movies, since I attended the Portland International Film Festival last week and saw the Portland winner of the Audience Award, Here and Now, done by a Portland person, and it was just a fabulous, fabulous movie. So I'm glad to include movies in that category. Senator Johnson,
thank you very much.
All right. Close the public hearing on the Cultural Trust, unless there's anyone in the audience wishing to add to the praises of Mr. Fish. Not seeing anyone. We're going to move on to the Board of Higher Education and invite up Mr. Jim Francisconi. Hello.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, Senator Johnson, Senator Nelson, Senator Montes Anderson. It would be an honor, actually a real honor for me, should I be nominated, selected to the Higher Ed Board for two primary reasons. One is it would allow me to continue to expand my advocacy for education. You've all been leaders in your own right, and you understand that whether the issue is social progress, economic growth, or equal opportunity, education, including higher education, is the best strategy. Second of all, it would allow me to try to work more on the issues of One Oregon. I tried to speak about One Portland in a prior life, but the opportunity to expand my focus towards One Oregon through education would be an honor. In terms of giving you the priorities for me, but I just refer to two. I've started reading a little more about higher education. One statistic that I was unaware of is, and this is a national statistic, that in the top 25 percentile economically, 75% of our young people by age 24 attain a college education. In the bottom quartile, the bottom 25%, it's 9%. So the issue of the shared responsibility model, and working with the prior nominee here, Bart Howard, and how we work with the legislature to address that issue, it involves more than money, but certainly scholarships and how we're going to proceed resources is one issue that I know my Tim Nesbitt cared deeply about. Nan Poppy chaired that committee, and it's an issue that I care about as well. Secondly, the second issue, and is the whole issue of the connections between K to 12, especially at the high school level, the community college level, and our university system. The current chair of the committee has talked to me about whether I'd be interested in working on that particular effort, how you connect high schools, community colleges, where there's much more diversity, by the way, in our community colleges, with our higher ed system, is the other issue that I care deeply about that I would be honored to work with you, the governor, the chancellor, other members of the board on. So with that, thank you for this opportunity to testify, and I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you. Questions? Okay.
Well,
Any advice, too?
A comment. You know, the State Board of Higher Education, I think, I'm very excited to have you actually in that position. Higher ed we have neglected in the state of Oregon, and whatever you can give to your expertise and maybe clout to help improve the our higher ed. We have too many going out of state now than in state, and we want to keep our own here if we can.
Thank you,
Senator Johnson.
I do have a question, Madam Chair, and forgive me for stepping out for just a second. I'd like your reaction to an observation, and this is just me opining on an issue, and that is the rigor with which the State Board of Higher Education looks at the allocation of scarce resources across our system. Alan Alley has been in many, many meetings now, the Deputy Chief of Staff to the Governor, talking about attaining spires of excellence in our educational institutions. It has been my observation that as long as we continue to take a finite amount of money and cut it into thinner and thinner and thinner slivers to make sure that every institution, for example, has an engineering department, that we will cheat ourselves out of the chance to create a spire of excellence, and instead we will perpetuate spires of mediocrity. And I would just like to know your views, as you are on the cusp of joining this very august policy development board, about what your feelings are with regard to our inability, again in my opinion, to be all things to all people at every institution, and your willingness to at least review the prospect that maybe we would have a more disciplined approach to appropriation.
Thank you, Senator. Again, I have a lot to learn, but one of the people I look forward to learning from and working with is the President of Oregon State, President Ray. And the example that he's set in partnerships, including spheres of excellence in engineering at ONAMI, for example, and the partnership that's formed between Portland State, University of Oregon, and Oregon State with a focus on spires of excellence. So Bob Dryden has focused on a certain aspect of engineering, and actually many of the engineers from Intel come from Portland State, but it's a certain aspect of it. So we can't do all things to all people, and it's actually going to involve some tough choices in order to create those excellence, because North Carolina has been investing in the higher ed system, California and University of Washington, to a level that we haven't yet, but you're beginning that, hopefully, in this legislature. So it's going to take that approach. I can't sit and tell you here, Senator, at this point, where exactly those should be beyond the engineering side.
One other phone.
Senator Johnson, go ahead.
So one other thing that I've observed in the time that I've been in the legislature is 90 amateurs' willingness to muck with issues in higher ed, specifically with respect to how the system is organized. I know there's a bill making it through the system right now to try to force two of our major institutions together. I find it remarkable that neither OSHU or PSU's Certified Smart Guys had come up with the idea to blend those two organizations, but somebody in this bill did. And I would just like to have your reaction as to whether or not there is a role for the State Board of Higher Education in reacting to that kind of forced planning coming out of this building rather than the thoughtful reflections of either the board or the individual institutions.
Well, I think there is a role, and I actually have an opinion on Representative Greenlick's bill. I think it would be a mistake to merge those institutions. Now, having said that, the spirit behind Mitch Greenlick's bill in terms of encouraging closer cooperation is something that should happen, and actually the effect of the bill is actually doing that. One of the issues that I know the governor cares about as well, because we talked about it, is how those institutions can work more closely together. It's actually a subject I talked with Dr. Kohler already, as well as Dr. Robertson, as well as Dan Bernstein. So there are ways that they can work together more strategically. But a forced merger at this point would be like a forced marriage that would result in unintended consequences, potentially losing some faculty at a time that we need to attract even more faculty.
Perfect answer, Madam Chair. Confirm this, man.
All right. Thank you, Senator Johnson. Any other questions for Mr. Francesconi? Thanks for joining us. We don't want you to be late for the Supreme Court Justice. Have a good meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That we're going to close the public hearing unless anyone wishes to testify on Mr. Francesconi's appointment to the Board of Higher Education. Even his wife says, no, I'm not going to testify. Okay. let's bring up Ms. Jill Island and Mark Lewis, Workforce Investment Board, while we're talking about higher education, because it's very related. Open a public hearing. In line, we got Dennis Perkins, Bruce Holt, and Bill Beck. Hi. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Jill Island, a native Oregonian, beginning my life in East County and having lived in Washington County for the last 20 years. And I work for Intel Corporation now, and I'm personally and professionally interested in supporting the goals and objectives of the Oregon Workforce Investment Board because I do represent the state's largest private employer, and we care a lot about workforce development. I also have three children that I'd like to stay in Oregon so that I have a garage to live in when I retire. So I would like them to have opportunities here whether they choose to go on to a four-year institution or not. And I think that's where I'd like to put some time and energy in my appointment if I am confirmed, because I think that we need to pay attention to the 70% of the children who choose not to go on to a four-year institution and think more about the things that we can do to help them receive the training requirements so that they too can earn a family wage job and choose to stay here in Oregon. So I'd appreciate your support.
Thank you.
My name's Mark Lewis. I'm president of a company called Woodfold Marco in Forest Grove, and I wish I'd had Jill write my remarks because they're very nice. Our biggest challenge in the future is dealing with the change in demographics, and we have more need to produce and less people to do it with, and we can either sit and grouse about it or we can do something about it. And some people were kind enough to suggest that I could maybe help on this board, and I'm flattered that they thought of me.
Great. Questions? I just have to say, Ms. Island, I really appreciate your comments because this is an interest of the legislature, at least of mine, in terms of workforce development and making sure kids getting out of high school can get jobs. So we train them properly. Senator Johnson?
I would just like to ask both of your reaction to what I see to be an increasingly serious problem with respect to workforce development. Let me just say first, I appreciate the fact that you recognize all kids aren't material for four-year degrees, and doing something for those kids is a wonderful thing. But here's my issue, and that I solicit your opinion. I have a business in my district that has good family wage jobs benefit package. It's hard work. It's work out in the woods. And they had applicants come in, and part of their screening process was a drug test. 9 in 10 applicants flunked. And they eventually had to go to a process by which they had somebody take the drug test. If they passed and if they hired, they were reimbursed for the drug test because the drug test itself in their application process had become a cost center. And what I'm trying to reconcile is that in this building we spend an awful lot of time talking about workforce development, and I haven't heard, to my satisfaction, enough people desperately concerned about the fact that we can't get people to show up who aren't screwed up on some kind of substance that prevents them from either accepting work or discharging that work in a safe manner for their colleagues and their businesses. Do you have a reaction about the role that this board that you're about to be confirmed to, I would assume, the role that this board ought to take in addressing that problem?
Well, I'll take a first shot at that. I agree wholeheartedly. We find the same issue at our company, and the safety is paramount at Woodfold, and as a consequence we have a drug policy, and it precludes us from hiring people that potentially could perform the job, but we will not subject our other workers to an unsafe environment. But I will note that within this board there is a subcommittee that's trying to deal with exactly that issue. They don't have an answer, but they're working on it. So we know that that is an issue, the whole drug thing, and what we can do to try to turn that corner. But I tell you, I wish I came to you and had a great response, but All I can say is we know it's an issue.
Mr. Lewis, could you tell us just a little bit about your company, how many people you employ?
Sure. We're 120 people. We're a manufacturer of custom products distributed throughout the United States and Canada. We make accordion folding doors, interior wood shutters, wood roll-up doors. We're 100% employee-owned. We're an ESOP company. And so I may be the president, but I work for all the people that are the owners there. And we truly are only as good as each of us.
And where do you hire from? What's typically your hiring practices?
That's changed over the years, Madam Chairman. And today we hire most of our people as a temp to hire system. So we put our people, whether unknown or known, through a temp agency, and we rotate them around the plant. And as that person works in an area for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then we move them to another area, we'll interview the people that they have worked with and get their assessment of that person's personality and characteristics and nature and ability to fulfill the needs of that job. And we quite frankly are looking for people and not skills, because we think we can train skills on site.
So are most of your new hires high school grads?
Yes, but we have a number that aren't.
Okay.
And quite frankly, that really isn't the defining issue for us.
Okay.
The defining issue is whether they're a good fit with our culture and our work-life balance, and whether they have the ability to learn those jobs that need to be completed.
It's a really interesting hiring practice. And are you commuting out every day?
Myself?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's quite the commute. Holy smokes. What time do you leave? 5?
Well, I get up at 4:30.
Okay, see, I was close. See? For those of us in Southeast Portland, we know how difficult it is. Okay. You get. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Sarah Nelson?
Yes, thank you. I represent a part of the state that is out in Northeast Oregon, Ohio County, Union County, Umatilla, and Morrow. I mean, the statistics out there are just terrible. I mean, we only have, I think, maybe 10% of our folks are even have a college degree or maybe advanced education. And the biggest and best jobs are government jobs. 1 in 3 in Ohio County is a government job, best paid. We just have some terrible problems. And this workforce development, from my viewpoint, goes back to a mindset in the state of Oregon that we don't want to use our natural resources. And, you know, that's my country. That's what we do things. You know, we're talking about alternative energy out there, and how are we going to get people to work if we can't use some of our natural resources? My big issue this time is Columbia River water.
Mm-hmm.
How we could use that to actually create some jobs in my part of the country that, you know, people wouldn't have to be a fully educated person that can make some contribution. So, when you're going through all your issues that you're going to go through, just kind of remember our folks out there in Eastern Oregon, and that we are a natural resource state, and my part of the country is natural resources, and we got to start using those things.
Well, Senator Nelson, if I could respond a little bit, one of the things that this board has done previously is that they have allocated some money to a program that is kind of monitored by a board called Northwest HVAC. And one of the metrics is to set up consortiums, much like we've set up in Portland, which now is 85 manufacturing companies. But one of the metrics is to try to establish similar types of consortiums around the state. And we've worked in Southern Oregon through that board that I'm on. And we're working with Bend and Klamath Falls and whatnot. So we believe that this model that we've developed in the Portland area can be extended throughout the state and take the limited resources that we all have and leverage those with private industry to take advantage. I was born and raised in Ontario, Oregon, and I've slept the hand lines on the farms that use water from the Snake River, and so I'm very much into natural resources and what it can do for us. It created a life for me.
Thank you both. I think we don't have any more questions. We appreciate you both spending your time and energy to join us today and your willingness to serve on this board. So take care. Good luck. Anybody else wishing to testify on these two appointments to the, where was I? Board Workforce Investment Board. I was like, we're going to close the public hearing. We're going to open a public hearing on the Electrical and Elevator Board. Come on up, Mr. Perkins. And then next up, we got Bruce Holt, Bill Beck, and we're going to pull up Ms. Gardner by the phone. Thanks
for
your patience.
Madam Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to come and sit before you. My name, for the record, is Dennis Craig Perkins. I unfortunately go by Craig, so no one knows that most of the time. I'm seeking the appointment and confirmation to the Electrical and Elevator Board's inspector position. I've gone through an apprenticeship and got a journeyman's license, got my supervisor's license, got my inspector certification. And in the 1980s, when work was not so good around here, I had the opportunity to travel. And I quickly discovered that in other states, when they found out you had an Oregon electrician's license, you became a valuable employee. And quite frankly, I didn't think too much about it. I enjoyed it. Once I got back to Oregon, I started thinking about why that was. And I realized that the system that we've set up for apprenticeship and training and administered by the Electrical and Elevator Board, the statutes that you have written and the rules that they then implement created that for me. So I got involved in apprenticeship training, journeyman training. I've taught courses for inspector training and attend regularly the Electrical Board meetings and have sat on several subcommittees of the Electrical and Elevator Board. I found it to be something in me, let's put it that way, wants to be a part of the process for continuing the good reputation of Oregon, because we do turn out quality people. And that's kind of why I want to be a member of the Electrical and Elevator Board.
Holy smokes. Thank you. Questions? No, that was really good. And you were so good, you got yourself off the hook for any questions.
Great, appreciate that.
All right. Well, Mr. Perkins, we appreciate your willingness to take time out of your schedule to serve on this board, and appreciate your commitment to the state of Oregon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
Anybody else wishing to testify on the Electrical and Elevator Board? All right. Port of Portland, Mr. Holt, come on up. Sorry to keep you waiting. Appreciate your patience.
All right. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bruce Holting, and I live in Canby, Oregon. I am interested in being a Port of Portland commissioner because I have the skills to do the job. With over 19 years working as a longshoreman at the Port of Portland, I feel that my experience on the waterfront would be a benefit to the commission and the community. My current position as a Canby Planning Commissioner has broadened my interest in the future and growth of the Port of Portland and the state of Oregon. I believe that I will be a fresh perspective and give fresh ideas on land development, businesses, and helping in the community. As an officer of ILWU, I have learned to work well with diverse groups of people and also work with the community. Because of my qualification, general interest, in helping the Port of, I will be a good help with the Port of Portland development and growth. I believe that I am the right person for the commission. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Holt. My question is safety, and particularly we're spending a lot of time and energy checking people getting onto airplanes, but not doing a lot in other areas, particularly ships, train cargo. Could you address that issue?
Yes, I could go on for a day or two on that. But
I won't let you either. So.
Yes, I'm well aware. I've testified in both of the our senators and here before on port security. I'll be frank. You might not want to hear what I'm about to say. Port security, there basically is no port security. I'm going to say that right now. We do the best. The port does the best it can. Okay. Upcoming is background checks, TWIC cards, in favor of that. Okay, but what is happening is a ship offloads containers, empty containers, right? Could come from anywhere. They go on our trucks, we offload them off the crane on our trucks, and they go out to our rail yard and could go anywhere. No one has looked inside those containers, okay? That's ILWU, and it should be everybody that's involved with port security and safety of the United States to look inside those cans, okay? Numerous things can happen. For example, we show our ID at the gate, and I'm in favor of that. We're also part of the solution, you know, with port security. Yes, I know you have yours right there. But what scares me to death is that truck drivers and other people show their ID, but there's no backgrounds and nothing. We don't know who they are, okay? We're in favor of strong port security, and I was involved in it heavily because I was the president of ILWU Local 8 twice. And I think it needs to be stronger. There has to be more emphasis in looking at these containers. And I know there's some bills out there and things to look at them overseas, but we don't know. You've all heard, in Los Angeles, for an example, we had a container blow up on a ship, okay? You're probably all aware of that. It was a few years ago. No one would have looked in that container, okay? Well, you've heard of people being found in containers. Without us looking in these containers, if it be overseas or on our docks, we've got problems, and that's my opinion. On the airport part of it, I love all this X-ray. I wish there was more. Since I go to the commission meetings at the Port of Portland, I do know there's some things in the work for modernizing the port, for make it easier. I think that's awesome, as long as we have the X-ray machines and the stuff willing to do the work to make us safe. But I'll stop there. I could go for days, but I won't.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Other questions for Mr. Holt? You talked yourself off the hook.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for
appreciate opinion. Your willingness. And I understand, I believe Mr. Imason is actually working for the port at this point. Is that correct?
That's
okay.
Correct.
All right.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to testify in the Port of Portland appointment of Mr. Bruce Holt? Speak now, forever hold your peace. We're going to close the public hearing, open the public hearing on Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, invite up Mr. Bill Beck. Mr. Beck, it's good to see you. Thanks for your patience. I was like, I know that name.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, my name is John William Bill Beck. I reside at 676 Salem Heights Avenue South in Salem, Oregon. During the past 40 years, I've served the children of Oregon as a teacher, a principal, and a central office administrator with the Portland School District. Following the 32 years with them, I joined the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators as Director of Professional Development and went around the state providing professional improvement for the 2,200 members of that organization. I also had the responsibility of serving as COSA's liaison to Teacher Standard and Practices Commission, so I've been involved with them over the past 8 years. I retired this past June, and now I'm looking for a way to utilize my experiences over the past 40 years as a volunteer on the commission. And I'm here this morning to seek your support in having that opportunity. With that, if there are any questions, I'll answer them now.
Thank you. And like Mr. Perkins, despite the fact that your first name is John, you go by Bill, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Beck? Thank you.
Well, I just have to share, Chair Brown, this one comment, and I think Senator Nelson would appreciate that. I've been in the back of the room for most of the morning, and I am the last on the list. And I have to share this story about a there was a rancher from your part of the country, Eastern Oregon, talking with a rancher from Texas. And they were bragging about their spreads, and the rancher from Eastern Oregon was so proud. He had 50,000 acres, 500 head of cattle, and raised the best alfalfa in the state. And the guy from Texas just kind of looked at him, just kind of giving that smirk, and he says, let me tell you about my spread. He says, I can get in my pickup and I can travel for 2 days and not get the other end of my spread. The guy from Eastern Oregon looked at him and smiled. He says, yeah, I had a pickup like that once.
Good, you get extra points today. Thank you very much. Anybody else wishing to testify on Mr. Beck's appointment to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission? We're going to close the public hearing. We're going to open a public hearing on the Nursing Home Administrators Board and ask for committee staff to call Ms. Gardner. We'll set you go if you guys can leave if you want to. It's fine. We're going to go into work session. You just want to stay. Stay. Okay. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ms. Gardner.
Yes, it is. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
My name is Kate Brown, and I'm chairing the committee. I got a few other folks with me. Senator Betsy Johnson, to my right, Senator David Nelson, and Senator Mona Sanderson.
All right.
We're just going to open a public hearing here for the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators. There's a few folks in the audience, but you are, just to forewarn you, you are being taped throughout the Capitol, so choose your words carefully. They could be used against you at a future date.
All right, thank you.
Would you just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on this particular board?
Well, I think that my resume is probably in front of several of the folks. I think I have a unique situation. I'm not only an older person and a consumer, a potential consumer for this situation.
Ms. Gardner, we're laughing because...
But I'm also a licensed professional nurse. I've worked almost 50 years in clinical settings, and I've worked both in this country and in other countries. I have a master's in gerontological nursing and have worked with several title programs, for instance, Title 20 programs over the years. And always have had a really keen interest in parity in this area and in the quality of care that's delivered.
Well, thank you. Your resume is quite extensive, and I have to tell you, you have a dais full of future nursing home applicants, so we're obviously very interested in this issue as well. Anybody have any questions for Ms. Gardner? Senator Modest Anderson. Yeah. I knew she would.
Hi, Arlene. This is Senator Lori Modest Anderson. I'm a nurse, and I'm so glad to see that you're... going to be taking the time to serve on this. Those who know who work at the grassroots level maybe can add a little bit more to issuing or determining qualifications and enforcing standards and maybe have a different point of view. So thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of this.
Well, thank you for listening.
And as you know, our long-term care system needs all the help it can get so that we can make sure that those of us who are baby boomers, well, there will be space for us.
There are a few of you out there. That's what I understand.
Yes, yes, yes. We're anxious to make sure that you solve the problem. So.
Okay, all righty. I'll give it my best.
Thank you.
A new thing for me, but I'm very excited to be able to help the state and, you know, the folks in it. It's just a real thrill for me.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
And we'll be in touch.
All right, thanks a lot.
Anybody else wishing to testify on this incredible appointment to the Board of Nursing Home Examiners? Not seeing any volunteers. I'm going to close the public hearing. And given our very shortness of time, I'm going to run through the executive appointments pretty quickly, and then we also have a bill in front of us. It's LC 2515 relating to landlord-tenant law that folks have asked to be introduced as a committee bill. So I'm going to open a work session on the appointment of Timothy McLean to Superintendent of the State Police and ask that the appointment be moved to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Close the work session on Trooper McLean. I'm going to ask Senator Johnson to carry that appointment. Open a work session on the appointment of Todd Basham to the Land Use Board of Appeals and move the Basham appointment to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Nelson, would you be willing to carry Mr. Basham's appointment?
Sure.
Okay. We appreciate Mr. Basham's willingness to sign up for tough duty. All right. Close the work session. Open the work session on Richard Herman to the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board. Move the appointment to the Senate floor with the recommendation the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection?
Reappointment, too.
I'm sorry. Appointment and reappointment of Mr. Herman to the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. All right. Close the work session. Open the work session on and would move the appointment of Anthony Barsotti to the Board of Boiler Rules to the floor with the recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Not so ordered. Just remember it's Barsotti with Biscotti, not Biscotti. Mm-hmm. So, the joys of growing up in Minnesota. All right. Close the work session. Open a work session. The appointment of Nick Fish to the Trust for Cultural Development Board and move the appointment to the floor with the recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Okay. Close the work session on Nick Fish. Open a work session on Mr. Dennis Craig Perkins to the Electrical and Elevator Board and move the appointment to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session. Open the work session on Jim Francesconi, the State Board of Higher Education. I would move the appointment of Jim Francesconi to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session. Open a work session on Arlene Gardner to the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators and move the appointment to the floor with the recommendation that the Senate confirm the appointment. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. So ordered. Close the work session. Open the work session on the appointment and reappointment of Bruce Holt to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland and move the appointment to the floor with the recommendation that the commission that the appointment be confirmed by the Senate. Any discussion? Any objection? That's good because Mr. Holt's sitting in the floor as we speak. Seeing no objections, so ordered, and we're going to close the work session on Mr. Holt. And we wish you the best of luck on the Senate floor.
With
that, we're going to open the work session on Mr. Bart Howard and Mr. Bruce Brian Lamos to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission and move those appointments to the floor with a recommendation that they be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session. Open the work session. The appointment of Bill Beck to the Teacher Standards and Practice Commission and move the appointment to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session. Open the work session on Jill Island and Mark Luce to the State Workforce Investment Board. Move those appointments to the floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. So ordered. Close the work session. Oh, now I have to read the script. Okay. Open the work session for the consideration of the following reappointments to the Board of Commissioners, to the Port of Portland, to the Board of Directors of the State Accident Insurance Fund Corporation, and the State Board of Tax Practitioners. We would move these appearances, the following appearances be waived, and the following be reappointments be moved to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed and blocked. The reappointment of Mary Olson to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland, the reappointments of John Anhorn and John Endicott to the Board of Directors of SAFE, and the reappointment of Marilyn Johnson, State Board of Tax Practitioners. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none? So ordered. Close the work session. Did we miss any?
No.
Good. Okay, now we need to move into the work session on LC 2515. The chair would move the introduction of LC 2515, which is relating to landlord-tenant law definition, creating new provisions, and amending ORS 90.100. Move that we introduce this is a committee bill, so your vote today is simply for the purposes of bill introduction and not a your indication of pleasure or displeasure with the bill. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Any other business to come before the committee?
We need carriers.
Oh, we need carriers. Thank you very much.
We can do the two paid positions, Johnson and Wilson, and everybody else.
Yep. Let's do Senator Montana Richardson. Would you be willing to carry the volunteers? We've got Senator Nelson to carry Mr. Basham and Senator Johnson to carry the superintendent position. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're good? Anything else? We thank you so much for your cooperation today. Senate President will be pleased that everyone will be on time for our noon meeting. And Senator Nelson, I hope you have a delightful lunch hour.
I'm going to have a wonderful lunch hour.
Great. With that, we're adjourned. Thanks, staff. Great job.
Okay. 66 students.
Okay. It's just so you know, it's a chair meeting today.
Yeah.
And you're...